Hi, folks. There was one day in the summer of 1993 when I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, kid, what do you really want to do with your life? And the answer was not put the same letters into the same holes. I was working for the United States Postal Service at the time. And I was looking down the barrel of putting the same letters in the same holes for the next 20 years. I'd already been there for 8 years, but I wanted more. I had a passion to study the Word of God. I had a passion to write. I wanted to study and write about the Word of God. And I looked in the mirror and I was speaking to God. I said, I want to bring your Word alive. I want to study your Word. And I want to understand your will. I want to know what you're doing in the world. And I want to take that to other people. God, you've given me the gift of communication. I'm able to write. I want to write. And I want to tell other people about you. The only problem was, in my mind, that I was working for the United States Postal Service. In 1993, I was making $17 an hour. I had a wife and 3 children. To quit the post office was insane. My friends said I was slopping at the government trough. Quitting the post office was not something that you did with a wife and 3 children. I went through a wall of fear. Do you ever have a crazy idea and it hits you one day? My crazy idea was, I want to quit the post office and study about God full time. I want to take my passion, what I really want to do, and I want to give my best years to this. I don't want to just do this in my spare time. I don't want to just do this after I come home from work exhausted and I can barely take care of my family. I want to spend my energy on this. And I'll never forget, I looked in the mirror that day and God seemed to be saying to me, this is a worthy occupation. You, just like Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said, you have asked for a good thing. It seemed to be God saying to me, Zender, you have asked for a good thing and a worthy thing. And that idea comes in your head, and you think, okay, well, that was a nice idea, but I'm not really going to do this, because this would be nuts. So you go along for 2 or 3 days, and you kind of forget you ever thought of it. But it's there, it's nagging you, it's in the back of your mind, and then maybe 2 or 3 days later, it comes back. And you remember what you said, and you remember the passion you had, and you remembered what you wanted to do. And you look at the world, and you see that it needs this message so badly. The world is hurting for truth, and I knew that. The world was hurting for truth, it was hurting for grace. I had already known about the salvation of all. I learned that in 1983. And this was 1993. So I had studied this stuff. I had studied the Gospel of Paul. I had studied the salvation of all. I had a 10-year crash course in the Scriptures. It wasn't a crash course. It was 10-year of thorough study. And I came to the point in 1993, I'd also learned how to write. I had bought books on writing, loved to write. I'd written ever since I was a kid. I used to write poems in my bed at age 8. As soon as I could scribble, I started to write. The reason I did that is because I stuttered my entire life. I still do, sort of, but I've learned how to hide it. And so I couldn't really communicate. And it was always frustrating to me because I wanted to raise my hand and give the answer to the teacher, but I couldn't because I stuttered. So the written word became my vehicle, my avenue of communication. So this thought I had, this dream became more real by the day. And suddenly the day came when I knew I was going to do it. I said, oh my God, I'm actually going to do this. And I hit a wall of fear. And the book I went to for comfort, I pored over this book. It was the book of 2 Timothy. These are Paul's last words. These are Paul's marching orders to those who would do what he did, to those who would pick up the baton, to those to whom he would pass the baton. He was desperate for mature men to grasp onto this truth and to carry it forward. When he wrote this letter, he knew he was dying. He was about to be poured out, and his heart was for the message to go forth that it would not die with him. And so he wanted to pass it on to faithful men. The problem was that the apostasy had set in, and 2 Timothy is written in the environment of apostasy. The church had been strong. It used to be the pillar and foundation of God's truth in 1 Timothy. But by the time Paul writes 2 Timothy, the apostasy had set in, the church had come to ruins, and now it no longer was the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Now, with the scriptures complete, Paul completes the word of God. Now, the scriptures become our foundation. And yes, we can gather around the scriptures, but you don't need a building anymore. It's no longer the building. It's about discerning God's will, discerning God's program, finding out what God's doing. You do that through the scriptures. And 2 Timothy leans very heavily on the scriptures, correctly cutting the word of truth. The word of God is able to make you wise unto salvation. All these things Paul is telling Timothy. And no longer is he handing off the truth to an institution or to a building. He's saying, I want you, Timothy, to pass these words on to faithful men who will be able to pass it on to others also. It sometimes sends a chill down my spine to realize that I am one of those men down the line. Paul passed the baton to Timothy. Timothy passed it to somebody else. And down the line, there have been faithful witnesses to the truth of God, to the evangel of grace, to the salvation of all, to the sovereignty of God, to the truth of the conciliation, that God is conciliated to the world. And as my friend Clyde Pilkington said, we are now the people. We are now the ones on the stage taking this truth. We are direct descendants of the Apostle Paul, and we are laboring much like the Apostle Paul. Haven't spent a day and a night in a swamp yet, but I'm not discounting it. I'm still a young fella. So, this book was written by Paul to workers, but especially to those who want to know, what am I supposed to do now? I'm surrounded by apostasy. My friends don't get this. The church doesn't get it. Everyone's begging me to come to the institution, but I know there's something rotten in pew land. What do I do? 2 Timothy is the book for you. 2 Timothy lays out the course of a believer in the midst of apostasy. It's Paul's last letter. It's his swan song. And Clyde Pilkington has written a fantastic book called The Church in Ruins. And I want to take you through this book. And I don't know how long I'm going to be on this series. You know I want to do the book of Revelation. That's going to go on for a long time until Jesus Christ returns, honestly. We need the book of Revelation. I want to start this in March, God willing. As you know, I intended to start it in December, but my life got pulled out from under me. And so here I am in Pennsylvania. I want to do the book of Revelation. I'm thinking of starting it in March. I need time to really set this up. I'm going to be traveling between now and then. But in the meantime, it's on my heart to talk to you about Clyde's book, The Church in Ruins, because we are there. The church is still in ruins, the organized church. But the ecclesia of God, the true church, is thriving. And you're out there. I know you are. You're writing me. You're out there. I'm here. We're connected by miraculous connections. The Spirit of God is vitally connecting all of this. This, too, comes out in the book of 2 Timothy, The Church in Ruins. I absolutely love this book. Let me go to page 25 just to give you a teaser here of what's coming. There are two great quotes in here, one from Sir Robert Anderson. He says this about this crucial letter of 2 Timothy, quote, "The same apostle who had exulted in the fact that, quote, all they who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus." That was in Acts 19:10. The same man who exulted to say that lived to pen the sad lament, quote, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." 2 Timothy 1:15. So in between Acts 19:10, earlier in Paul's ministry, and 2 Timothy 1:15, we went from churches in Asia that heard the word of the Lord and rejoiced in it to all which are in Asia turned away from me. They forsook me. Why? Because the apostasy set in, the falling away. False teachings had snuck in, by the way, teachings of the law, teaching that chiseled away at the sovereignty of God. And today, we have teaching that chisels away at the accomplishment of the cross. Paul dealt with the same thing, but he prophesied of a time when it would get worse and worse. Men were going to wax more wicked, and they were going to become fake. They were going to become more pseudo-believers. They were going to become falsification of the truth. It was going to look like truth, but it would not be truth. I so love this book of 2 Timothy because it portrays for us the era we are living in. This book is akin to the book of Revelation, really, because it speaks of a time of desperation. Revelation is a time of earthly desperation. It's a time of destruction and physical violence. The book of 2 Timothy deals with a time of spiritual violence, when the wicked appear to be good, and when Satan is disguised as a messenger of light. That's what we're going to find in 2 Timothy. This quote from Sir Robert Anderson goes on, "And then, taking a still wider view of the condition of the church, Paul indicted the solemn forecast, quote, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." In Revelation, we have 200-pound hailstones. Here, today, right now, where you're living, we have deception. We have deceivers who don't realize they're deceivers. We have deceivers who are wolves in sheep clothing. I'm going to close with another quote here from Clyde's book before I start this study in earnest from Schofield. It says this, quote, "2 Timothy has to do with the personal walk and testimony of a true servant of Christ in a day of apostasy and declension. The key phrases are, quote, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, and, quote, a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Wow. I can't wait to take you through Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. We're going to analyze this close up. I'm going to tell you how to order this book. I'm glad you're here with me. Stay tuned. This is going to get good. I'm Martin Zender. Thanks.